All right, let's open our Bibles. We're going to 1 Thessalonians, and we didn't get too far into the first chapter. So if you missed the last week, well, you did miss something, but praise God we're here tonight. So wonderful. But we began this beautiful letter last week, and this beautiful letter to those newbie Christians. I think how God so elevated this dear group of brothers and sisters, how they truly just kind of blasted off. They blasted off in faith and hope and love. And we talk a lot about increasing at an increasing rate. Well, here's testimony for us, brothers and sisters. You know, God can bring it on. And I do want to point out again, remember, Paul was only with these brothers and sisters on this first journey for 3 weeks. For just 3 weeks. And, you know, he didn't have any handouts to leave with him. He didn't have a bunch of CDs and tapes and booklets and all. He didn't. He just had faith, love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith, love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, they have to be spiritually discerned. We can go at it as much as we want in our mind. We can think that we're going to dig in and get something out of this. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit anointed these people, and I'm so grateful to God for it. And I know that there are some that might be thinking, well, you know, you got to read on there in Acts, in Acts chapter 17. Soon after Paul had left Thessalonica, because they had to get him out of there at night, because they were Jews there were getting a little bit upset him preaching in the synagogue about this Jesus. So he left, and then he went to the Berean saints. And it says there that the Berean saints were more noble than the Thessalonians because they received the word in readiness of mind. And it says that they searched the scriptures daily to see that these things were so. And it's so precious that those brothers and sisters, that the Berean saints, received it like that. But let me tell you something. You go in and you read these letters back to the church of Thessalonians. I don't find letters like this to the Bereans. Now, God has written this letter to all these letters to his people, don't get me wrong. But I want you to know this as well too. It's not how you start. It's not how many times you fell over yourself getting out of the gate. It's not how many times you didn't believe something way back when. It's today. It's right now. And by the grace of God, it's all based on how are we going to finish? And are we going to finish with joy? So see, that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. That past, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. And I appreciated Brother Hill. He always used to remind us, those just aren't failures. Those are your successes. Absolutely. God's got all that bottled up for you as far as the wondrous things. Every tear you've cried in the name of the Lord, he's got it bottled up. But don't get caught up into all your achievements. Don't get caught up into all them failures. You know what? Just leave it be. It's today. It's now. And am I loving his appearing at this moment? Praise God. Well, I think we're in a Bible study, so I think we're in a good state right now. So let's get into this word, and I think it'll just continue to bless us. But as we left off there in the third verse, Paul was obviously thrilled with their work of faith. And tonight we're going to read on with that, how these brothers and sisters turned from idols. They turned from the idols. They turned from the things of the world. And that was a result of their faith. And a result of true faith is a repentance from your wickedness. He goes on to talk about in that third verse about their labor of love. And their love for Christ grew. And it made them faithful stewards. It's precious that what the love of God can do. And you notice here that it's labor. It's not works. It wasn't their work of love. It was a labor. Work can be something that you enjoy or something of that nature. Labor speaks of something that's stressful. Labor speaks of something that it has fatigue in it. But yet these brothers and sisters did not grow weary in well-doing. They kept on. There was a lot of adversity here. And the evidence of it was that at the end of that third verse or there, it says that there was hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were patient in that hope. They were focused on the return of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to read about that, Lord willing, if we get to verse 10 tonight, how focused they really were. So let's get on here in verse 4. It says, knowing, brethren, Beloved, your election of God. There's no doubt here. There's absolutely no doubt. The gospel is offered to all. The Word of God tells us He would that all men be saved and come to a full or a complete or an exact knowledge of the truth. But this gospel that was offered to all, only those that believe it are elected and chosen, brothers and sisters. And these brothers and sisters were much loved, beloved, and they're in. They're God's elect. God saw their accepting hearts, as we've rejoiced many times before the foundations of the world. He predestinated them. He predestinated them to become conformed to the image of His Son. Many people ask, well, what is my purpose in life? How many times over and over does the Word of God tell us? He's maturing us. He wants us to grow into grace and knowledge. He wants us, He's predestinated us into the image of His Son. Now, isn't that wonderful? Well, a lot of people just give up and say, oh, well, He's already predestinated me to be in that image. Yes, but are you going to enter in there as a baby? Huh? Christ Jesus grew, didn't He? Isn't that wonderful? I think of the example just in our wonderful Lord and Savior. He was a baby. Perfect, holy, righteous, very God of very God. But He grew to the mature one that was ready to be offered upon that cross at the age of 33. Where are we going to be as believers when we see Him? We're going to be like Him, we know that. But where are we going to be like Him in age? You ever think about that? I love it. He's encouraging us to grow up. He's going to marry a bride and she's going to be a full age. She's going to be like Jesus. She's going to be like Him in every way. She really is. She's going to walk like Him and talk like Him. Praise the Lord. She's going to be just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She's going to be like those four living ones, all in one. Eyes within and without, and the wings of overcoming. Isn't that wonderful? And praise God, that is what He has offered us into and to take hold of. But it says here that He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And moreover, it says in the Word there in Romans, that whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. And brothers and sisters, in that, all I can say is how He loves us. And the election is in the blood. That's where your election is. It's in that blood. And in the acceptance of the power that's in that blood to cleanse us. And when we have that cleansing, our election is sure. It's forever. Can never be taken away. And praise be to God. All right, let's go to verse 5. For our gospel, isn't that wonderful? Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And there it is. I've already emphasized it. It's our gospel. In Romans 2:16 it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. That's Paul's gospel. In Galatians 1:8 it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. That's the Word of God. But you'll say that to many a Christian and they get offended because they're ignorant of the Scripture. They're ignorant of what that means. It doesn't mean that we're putting any man upon a pedestal. It's the truth and the love and the faith and the accomplishment of what God wants to do in a life, that He was so faithful to us that He gave us that example in that wonderful brother who lived it. By the grace of God, who brought forth this wonderful mystery, this wonderful dispensation that we can have all Christ in me, the hope of glory. This truly is the message of the mark for the prize. And notice here the precious difference in this wonderful verse here. It wasn't in word only. Think about that. It wasn't in word only. It wasn't just doctrinally correct. It wasn't just convincing to the mind. It was in power. It was anointed. It was inspired of the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to ask the Lord to do in our lives. I see many a people that do come to knowledge of the truth, But don't live the joy of the Lord as their strength. This is our strength, knowing this. This is the vision that God has given me. This is the rejoicing, the joy unspeakable and full of glory that can flow out of us, brothers and sisters. The thankfulness of God can turn this in our lives and give us the power of the Holy Ghost in much assurance. And that is why their election was so sure. It reached their heart. Preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost will always ignite the heart, brothers and sisters. It does. It sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. It takes the things of Christ and makes them ours. It is the transforming power in our lives. People say, well, I know this. I see this truth. I've been around this truth. Do you live on your knees? Huh? Do you live worshiping the Lord? When's the last time you let the true power of the Holy Ghost just... You know, you need to let Him take your body. You need to let Him take your tongue. Not just one time. And I'm going to get after you. Let Him exercise you. You'll learn that you're going to need a body like unto His own glorious body. You start living a Holy Ghost life, and I'm going to tell you what, you'll be inspired and you'll be empowered. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll lay down at night and you'll go, whoo-wee. And it's true. I want to go by faith. Don't want to go by feeling. So often we're just predicated. How's this body feel today? Well, that's how nice I'm going to be to my wife and how I'm going to be my co-workers and things of that. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. They've been bringing me, you talk about songs in the night. He's teaching me new songs. We go in His might and His power. It's awesome. But the assurance here, brothers and sisters, was Paul's and Silas's and Timothy's testimony. There was an assurance to these people because these brothers lived it. They did. They didn't just talk about it. It was something living in their lives. There was testimony behind it. There was a walk behind it. It wasn't just a talk. There was a love. And these brothers had a love, didn't they? They were willing truly to lay down their lives. And each one of them. And praise God for Brother Paul. He showed that he didn't care about his own life. He gave his life over to the gospel. And the Lord did with what he wanted to do with that life. And he showed it. As they said, oh, the aged Paul, or Paul the aged. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, you go with the Lord, He's just going to keep you pretty and all that kind of... Let me tell you something. Paul was a pretty gnarly fellow, wasn't he? I don't know how gnarly it was, but he must have not been necessarily real attractive in a lot of ways. But how Christ-like that would have been, huh? Praise God. He followed the Lord. He allowed Him to build him up. It was the power of God that was coming forth. I'm sure those people were just as amazed as looking at Samson when he was running around with a gate that weighed what? How many tons that was? Huh? They looked at Paul and said, man, you should be in a home. You should be laying down, man. You're aged and weak. And he was getting up there and he had him behind the woodshed most of the time, didn't he? The power of God. The power of God. How wonderful. But see, this was the assurance. There was joy, joyfulness in their long suffering. They possessed the joy unspeakable and full of glory even in the trial. And we talk about these things, brothers and sisters, but, you know, by the grace of God, let's live them. Let's let God turn that in our lives. Let's not just go in and expect the same thing. Oh, well, this is hitting again. So here I go. And I'm just going to hunker down and shut myself off from everybody. And I'm just going to wait until the feeling passes. That's called a cycle. That is. The Lord doesn't talk about to me. I don't see anything about cycle. I just hear about Him just taking you up and up and from glory to glory to glory to glory. By the grace of God, I'm telling you, we need to allow Him break the ruts. Huh? And that's breaking up the fallow ground. Oh, wicked man that I am, God, help me with this. I want You to deliver me from this thing. And He will. But praise be to God. These newbies, I'm telling you, they just ran with this stuff. Let's go on to verse 6. And ye became, so now he's talking back to them, ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Look at how quickly they came in this. They followed the Lord. They received the word in affliction. See, you don't have to go that way. Did you know that? You can just receive the word and go home. You can. And you can just decide to live a life, well, I'm not going to enter into this kind of suffering. I'm not willing to do that. And the Lord will say, but you're not going to, I'm going to deny you the right to reign with me too. And that's the way it is. And there is a choice, because there will come a separation. When you really draw nigh to Him, in that love that He's calling you out with, He's going to separate you. And there is going to be a cutting away. It's going to happen. He does it. It's not you that's going to say, well, you know, I got to get away from this. No, you just go to Him. You just draw nigh to Him. He calls you out. He draws you. The choice is, am I going to yield to it? And if I do, there is going to, it's a way of suffering. You cannot get around it. I'm not trying to scare you. It's a precious way. It's an absolute precious way. He'll bring you joy that you could never imagine. But He'll allow you to face things in your life that you thought you'd never face. You're going to face things no matter. You know that. This old world, the sinner's going to face things. But we don't sorrow like them that don't have a hope. We have hope. And how much are you going to allow to abound in hope? Like these brothers and sisters were, they were abounding in that they were going to see Jesus. And that they could see Him any moment. And in the fourth chapter here that we'll get to, God willing, could be years, I don't know. But they're even looking to see Him face to face in the air. 3 weeks. Now He can bring it, can He? Come on. Come on. Let's know it. So, these brothers and sisters received it and they took it willingly. And not just willingly. If you notice here, it says they received it in the joy of the Holy Ghost. And that's the only one that can really bring us the joy. It's the joy of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? See, when we're full and overflowing in the Holy Ghost, there is a joy. You can't really describe it. It is unspeakable because it's full of glory. And God is the one that brings us that. And I think about how so many people say, oh, I wish I could feel like I did at camp. When God so filled me with the power of His might and I was just singing in tongues. Why not at home? Really? Why limit it to a place? Is God confined by anything? No. Absolutely. He inhabits all praise, right? I'm going to start praising Him in the car. He'll take care of that car. He really will. It's so precious that we can come and praise Him. I remember I was later in my teens when the Lord really set me free. And it hit me and it was so personal. I said, I feel so good going to camp and being so full of the Holy Ghost. To have it radiating in me. That love that just radiates. And it is a precious time. I'm not denying that at all. But I was about 17 and I said, you know what? I can get that right here. And it wasn't long after I found I could get that right here that I could get it at home. I could get it before I go to bed. I get it when I wake up. I get it when I'm driving off to college. When I was going to take a test that I knew was way over my head. That's God. That's the joy that you can have. And it's right there for us. Unspeakable and full of glory. And see, their eyes were open to how worth it all it is. And this joy that the Comforter, really, this is the Holy Ghost, this is the Comforter that Jesus Christ sent to us. That the joy that can be there even in the storm. That can give us the fervent faith and love that allow us to endure. And as I was thinking about this, it's not just knowing That the only way into the midst of the throne is to take up your cross and follow Him. It's not just knowing that. I believe everybody here knows that. But do you thankfully know it? There's a difference. Are you thankful that you know? Are you grateful that you know? Do you realize that it's a privilege that you know? That, Lord, I'm going to go in there by Your grace and Your grace alone, and I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow You. I don't do it begrudgingly. I don't do it like I have to get this done. If I want the joy of the Holy Ghost to radiate in my life, I do it willingly, I do it joyfully, and I'm thankful. And there's a huge difference. And that's when God will bring us joy, is when we receive it that way. All right, verse 7. So that ye were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now looky here. They reached these regions that they're talking about. This included the Berean saints, and this included the Philippians, the Church of Philadelphia. I mean, they were talking about these brothers and sisters. They were excited about them. They were speaking of their truth and their love. And what a firestorm of testimony was there. And I'm thankful to God for that. And I have to tell you, one of the sweetest things to my heart, and over the years to my heart, but I have to tell you, especially now, just because it grows more sweet, is the testimony that I do hear often from brothers and sisters and pastors that meet people in this congregation and rejoice for the faith and love that is found here. It's awesome. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would we not be after those same things for our life? Not to shed glory to us. No, glory to Him. Thankfulness to God that, Lord, You're so faithful, You can bring that to me. It's awesome. I get excited about it. I read about my inheritance every day and where God wants to take me and what He's bringing me. That these are my brothers and sisters of like precious faith in this wonderful word that I read. But praise the Lord. Can you imagine the things He's going to write about you? His word continues forever. Ever. I just am so grateful to God. Amen. All right, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And I think this is so precious again, that this wasn't just an echo. They weren't just a sounding board. This was a sound from within. It wasn't just a moon reflected glory. This was a sun glory. It was from within. And it was going out. And they lived it. It was real to them. God was living in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. I remind us, the Word of God tells us that faith without works is dead. Don't think of that as a verse that you just shy away from. Well, wait a second. That sounds legal. That's the Word of God. Let's rightfully divide it and understand what it's talking about. It doesn't sound legal at all when you know it in context to what God is saying. And it's very simple. It's the working of faith. It's the working of, by grace, the faith that He's given me in my life. If I'll yield to Him, it's going to produce. It's going to produce fruit. And that's simply what it is. It's not me going out and doing anything. It's me falling in love with Jesus. And when I fall in love with Him, He will and do of His good pleasure in my life. And when that happens, fruit will abound. It will happen. Praise God that it will happen. They were not just hearers only, but they were doers of the Word. And God help us not to be lazy Christians. I mean that. God help us not to be lazy Christians, but to carry His ministry. And I really, Mark, underscore that. His ministry that He's given us. wherever we go, that we would have it, as the Word of God says, ready to give every man an answer. Not just when we feel like it. Huh? Did it say, ready to give every man an answer when you feel like it? No. Period. Ready. Huh? Absolutely ready. Not so caught up in ourselves that we think that I can just go ahead and block everybody out and I'm just going to sit there in my own house and be ready for the coming of the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. No. Being ready is allowing others that need to feed to come and feast upon your garden as well too. What do you think? Are you there ready to hand a cold cup of water? It's got a reward. There has to be fervent love, brothers and sisters. It is. God is after us. There's testimony here. That bride, she's got a pattern in her. And it's Jesus. She's going to be like Him. His very image. And it's not something that, well, how do I be like Jesus? Like we've talked about. I appreciate in some respects the thought of what would Jesus do. I just want Him in me to cause me to will and to do of His good pleasure. I approach it this way. I just want to be. I want to be who I am. And I'm new creation. I'm His. I'm not my own anymore. And when I let go of that and really trust Him that He's the one that has me, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There's a rest in that. Like I can't imagine. Lord, this is your vessel. I'm going to ask you to guide it, direct it, and all of those things. And I don't have to plead for it. I take it to you, and it's yours. There's a rest to the people of God, aren't there? Or isn't there, I should say. So, I want to be a sweet salve. These brothers and sisters weren't a bunch of prophets and preachers and teachers and pastors. Nope. They're just plain folk. But I'm going to tell you something. They sure had a ministry everywhere. These three brothers never even had to talk about them. When they showed up, they were already going at it wherever they went if they knew them. Did you hear about those Thessalonica saints? My goodness, how they loved the Lord. Paul just sat there and just smiled. Oh, what you can do, Lord. Huh? They didn't have to publish their faith. They didn't have to write tracts about it. Holy Spirit took care of it. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in here. It was known by those who loved the Lord, and it was mighty. All right, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, this is a key to everything. We kind of touched upon it a little bit. You turn to God first. And you just keep turning to Him. He never moves. He's always got you, like I told you. The only time I'm not looking at Him is because I moved. And I'm looking away. And if I want to be delivered from something, you know what? I need to turn to Him. If I want to come out from something, I got to turn to Him. Praise God. And He does the rest. See, they turned to God, it says here. They turned to God. And He took that love of those idols away from Him. He took it away. So wonderful. Those idols speak of the world, brothers and sisters. And they're all there trying to attack every one of us in different ways. We've talked about it before. The enemy's got a bag of tricks. Endless. Come at you in any and every way that he can. But remember, God's got to let him do it. So know that. And he's not going to tempt or test you beyond what you can bear. Isn't that comforting? I know we're sitting here at times thinking, man, Lord, you let one get by. Huh? Come on, let's be honest. You ever had that conversation with him? You know, I read it here, but I'm having trouble with this one. Huh? Nothing. He made you. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. And I got the power of the Holy Ghost. You got the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. If you're filled yielding to Him? You've got that. And praise God. The power. You believe it? I hope you believe it. He wants you to believe it. That's the whole purpose of it. He's done it. He's just asking you to take it, live it, believe it. Get in there. You got a spread to eat from like you can't even imagine. Go over there and just stay at the dessert tray or whatever. You got the whole buffet. Go get every single bit because you need it all. You need the whole armor of God. All of it. Don't just take a piece here and a piece there. Just get it all. Even if you don't think you need it, just go get it all anyways because you're going to need it. You are. What's going good right now, Lord? I think I'll let it go today. Don't do that. You'll be laying waylaid real quick. Say, Lord, let me put you on every day. Every day. So they turned to God and He took the love of idols away. Think about Hebrews 13:13. My mom was reminding me of this again. Let us go, therefore, unto Him. See, everybody said, let's go without the camp. No. Let us go, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. You got to go to Him first. He draws you, you go to Him. He takes care of it. He then will lead you out. He then will allow you to suffer with Him. Absolutely. He'll take you on. He's going to do it. Faith turns us to God, brothers and sisters, and loving Him then makes us willful and joyful to serve and obey Him. And that's what these brothers and sisters came to a knowledge of very quickly. They knew that the payday was someday because they immediately it starts talking about the patience of hope. The hope of Jesus Christ that they had, of His return. He's coming. Let's go ahead and read verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So this is so absolutely precious here. They were willing to endure and wait for His coming. And not only do they escape the wrath. I'm sure you've read Thessalonians before. But in the fourth chapter, they don't just escape the wrath. These brothers and sisters were loving His appearing. And we're going to meet Him in the air before any of it all broke loose. Isn't that something? Praise be to God of what the Lord was doing in their life. And that's inspiring to me. Let's go ahead and jump into chapter 2, just a couple verses maybe, okay? For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. See, the Word of God never returns void, does it? Never does. Praise the Lord. It's not returning void this evening. Never returns void. God gave this entrance to them. God gave the entrance to Paul and to Silas to come to these brothers and sisters. They didn't have to force their way in. That a little different than today's Christianity? A little bit? What do you think? I think it is. See, we're not out there to just go forcing our way into every corner of the earth. God makes the entrance. God gives the entrance. His Holy Spirit gives us the utterance. These brothers, they went when and where God moved them. They went when and where when God moved them. And they always brought the sincere milk of the Word with them. They always, by the grace of God, spoke truth in love and always in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anything more powerful. They had it all. Timothy preached the Word, right? Stir up the gift that's within you. Get that power and preach the Word. And it's going to be just fine. That's it. Now, they're not going to line up at the doors to hear this kind of thing. They're not going to just try to bust in here to get a piece of it. Oh no. God has to give you a heart for this. She's a rib portion. He would that all of them would have taken it. But like those daughters are calling out, like My dear brother over here said, "Return unto us, O Shulamite." They were looking for her. They realized maybe a little bit how valuable she was. But let me tell you something. She wasn't coming back. Praise God. By the grace of God, I hope we never draw back. Going on with this. But it hurts my heart to think that today's mainstream Christianity, brothers and sisters, it's moving without God. And it is. It's moving in man's instruction. It's left the gospel. It's left the doctrine. And why? For crowds. For mass appeal. For money. Oh, absolutely. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it has no respecter of person. And but for the grace of God, there go I. Know it. I told you I worked in a business that was pretty much about money. And I come to find out the love of money being the root of all evil has no respecter of person. People that had a lot of money, they loved it. Sometimes I found out that the ones that loved it the most didn't have hardly any. But when you love it, no matter rich or poor, young or old, it's the root of all evil. Yeah, it just happens. God's word is true. You look at our world and what a mess they've got themselves into because of that love. But there's no anointing when you go after those things. There's a complete departure from taking the things of Christ and making them ours. Can you think of anything greater? Really? People have truly abandoned the Holy Spirit and the importance of it. I appreciate the sisters that it's been on their hearts to pray for the ones in this meeting to receive the Holy Spirit. You need that infilling. Those disciples could not be led into all truth. Christ was very clear with them. He said, "He's been with you and shall be in you." They needed the infilling in order to have that power to receive the deep things of God. Not going to soft sell it. I'd rob you if I told you any other way. You go to church anymore? If you want to believe that, that's great. We'll sit you over here and we'll get Pastor so-and-so to get to you. But make sure you sit in that quadrant where all of those other Holy Ghost ones are. If you don't believe in the security of the believer, you can sit over on this side. I won't get into speaking about any of this because it might offend those that are sitting over on that side. So we'll just preach about good God, good devil, good everybody. And I'll try to put you all to sleep. And that's the truth. They're singing people a lullaby today, brothers and sisters. I like birds. I know my sister likes birds. Sometimes I stay up and watch about those bird shows way too late in the evening. But there's a thing called a trumpeter swan. Amazing. I want to sing you the trumpeter song. And more specifically, the first trumpet song. And it's loud. Oh yeah, it is. It's loud to those that are listening. Praise God. I don't want to put you to sleep. Don't want to do that. This body is in a great sleep. As we know, the Word of God tells us, it's an hour when you think not. Don't be drunken in the night. Oh God, help us. Wake us up, Lord. The simplicity yet scarcity of following Paul as he followed Christ. The famine is here, brothers and sisters. Success with God is seldom success with man. You think about it. Paul had finished. He had finished his course. He'd kept the faith. The time of his departure was at hand. It was all there. The most glorious life that really had ever been lived to the things of God. Think about the victory. You talk about it. The crown of righteousness that was his. He knew it. It was done. I finished it with joy. What an announcement. But yet at the same time that he was announcing that, all of those brothers and sisters in Asia that he had given the Word of God to All had forsaken Him. What an example. Glorious. What would you do to get to hear Brother Paul preach the Word today? I think you'd do anything, wouldn't you? Well, you know what? He is preaching the Word, isn't he, sister? I hope you know that. I'm not comparing myself to anybody. It's the message. Do you get it? It's the message. We've got it. Hallelujah! We've got it. Do we see the treasure that we really have? I hope you're just joyous. I really do. This isn't some... I was going to say left wing, and I don't want you to think I'm swinging any way. I'll say left wing, right wing, nut house. It's the Word of God. Really, I just look out and said, do you realize how privileged we are? This is for everyone. It really is. He wanted them all to enter into this. This isn't because you come to this church or because you heard Brother Hill or because you lived a good life or because you lived such a bad life, he had to figure out how to give you a good life. I don't know. Don't try to reason it. It's called grace. It's right there for us, isn't it? Praise His name. Let's go ahead and go one more verse and we'll call it a night. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So, here we go. Brother Paul and Silas, they received beatings. They were imprisoned. They were insulted. This is speaking there at Philippi. But you know, God had a plan for that, didn't He? And I think about how in that wonderful church at Philippi was the out-resurrection example. High calling of God in Christ Jesus example. Where there was so much persecution going on for these brothers and they tried to beat it down and they didn't want them to get it out at all. But at that wonderful place, God so came in and it was the example of the first rank believers, as we know, the ones that had the name bridegroom written on them. God knows what He's doing. Are you a people of much suffering? I believe so. I think there's going to be much glory. That's how God does it. And that's how He chose to do it here. See, these people were living proof. By the grace of God, they didn't compromise, but they were emboldened, it says here. They were bold. They were bold in our God to speak. Isn't that wonderful? They weren't bold in themselves, but they were bold in God. Brother Copley notes this, and I think this is very important. To be emboldened by God is the weakening of ourselves. Did you hear me? To be emboldened by God is the weakening of ourselves. As we decrease, the Word of God tells us, He increases. And He increases the power of His might, and it rests upon us. Conflict abounding, yet these brothers and sisters became gushing fountains of the Word of God. Gushing fountains. And the last thing I'll just leave with that is, you ever been to Yellowstone? You see those geysers, and you see that one old faithful? Well, to become a geyser, it's all about pressure. Did you know that? It's all about pressure. Being pressed out of measure. Even in the rocks, huh? And in the ground. But to be a geyser of the Lord, you're going to despair of your life at times. Just starting to get a glimpse of that, brothers and sisters. So I don't know. I think my little brother Dane had the Lord speaking through him. You better pray for me. And I better pray for you And that puts us in the will of God so mightily, so wonderfully. We're knit together in His love. I'm thankful you love the Lord. I'm thankful you love His Word. Thank God He loves us so. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You again for this evening. We thank You for Your Word. We just appreciate Your care for us. Lord, help us to continue to turn unto You, and You take care of bringing us out of the camp. God, we know that it's going to be at times uncomfortable. That's Your way. Those little eaglets that are going to leave the nest, I so appreciate that mom and dad. They put those thorns in there from the very beginning. Raised them up, and they started to take the things away when they needed to soar on their own. God, help us to know that. That we're mounting up. We're mounting up with the wings as eagles. It's exciting, Lord. And we're going to fly away to You soon. And even so, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.